Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
All right, brothers and sisters, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the freedom we walk in, the power that we walk in, the authority that we have, the anointing that is on our lives, Lord. The ability that you have poured out on us that yokes might be destroyed. Help us to know we're not bound by what great-grandmama them did and Uncle Junebug and all of that. We love them. We love them. We love them. We thank God for them. We're proud of them, Lord. Hallelujah. But we just want to walk with you. That way we can love Uncle Junebug them better, and we can walk in some authority. So, Lord, help us to be free. Hallelujah. Help us to be free. Hallelujah. Free to walk in divine health. Free, hallelujah, to tell the truth. Free to live one life. Not one on Sunday, not one around the saints, and then another one somewhere else behind closed doors, but just one life, Lord. Hallelujah. One life that glorifies you. And Lord, hallelujah, help us to know that we are free. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can make a list of stuff we don't want, we're not supposed to do, and it's good to know what we can't do. But Lord, hallelujah, show us what we're free to do. Hallelujah. We're free to walk and live a life without fornication. We're free to live a life without adultery. We're free to live a life without being bound by generational junk. We're free to walk away from slights and mistreatments and betrayals with a song in our hearts. So, Lord, we thank you for this freedom we have, this liberty in you we have, and we're free from worry. No matter how much we love people, no matter how much we want the best for them, no matter how uncertain certain aspects of life might be, hallelujah, Lord, we're free not to worry, because you have not given us that kind of spirit of fear. So, Lord, we just come in your authority. And, Lord, we're not worried about what anybody says, what anybody thinks. In you, we don't have anything to lose. We don't have anything to prove. Our presentation of our bodies as a living sacrifice, that's the proof. Hallelujah. And Lord, you have equipped us. You haven't told us anything that you will not equip us to do. You said you want us to be holy. Hallelujah. Now, in Russell and in the names of others on this call, hallelujah, in the fleshy part of us, we cannot be holy. Hallelujah. No matter how high your morals are, no matter how much self-control we have, Lord, we know, hallelujah, that holiness comes from you, and the ability to stand in the holy place comes from you. Hallelujah. So we're worried about too much stuff, Lord. Hallelujah. And you don't want us to worry about a thing. Hallelujah. Be concerned. Pay attention to. Be mindful. Watch as well as pray. Hallelujah. Use godly wisdom. Walk in discernment. Live out the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. But we are not supposed to be worried, and help us to get to that. And Lord, we ask your blessing, Lord, on the words of exhortation last night. In the words of exhortation, you've given me tonight. And Lord, thank you for those so many years. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, that you have shored us up against the attacks of the enemy. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for guiding our footsteps. Thank you, Lord, for going before us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making ways that we don't even see. Lord, thank you for holding back calamity in the time of threat, unseen threats, Lord. The times, Lord, when we thought we were talking with brothers and sisters and friends, and it was just like a lion or a tiger sitting in some tall weeds. They were not our friends. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing tonight. Have your way tonight, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we're so glad, Lord, for all the blessings you bestowed. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of getting on this call tonight. I think it's sad. I think it's a shame. Sometimes we have a hard time getting people to get on the call. Well, hallelujah. Until you make it a part of your life, until you have a lifestyle change, hallelujah, you can't hardly get what you're supposed to get out of this call. Hallelujah. But help us to understand, hallelujah, how important it is, how we should run to these calls, the Monday night call, the Wednesday night call, tonight's call, which happens to be on a Tuesday, that we should run to these and be excited about it. Help us to run to these calls like I used to run to the Bookmobile. Lord, thank you for being an awesome God. Thank you for loving us, Lord, in a way that we just can't get. Hallelujah. And thank you for keep pouring out opportunities. Thank you for being a life-giving fountain in our life. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for being mighty. Hallelujah, in the earth, Lord. Hallelujah. And help us, Lord, hallelujah, to navigate this world, to make an impact for your glory in this world. And help us, hallelujah, along the way, let somebody know what it looks like, what it feels like, hallelujah, what it even sounds like to be around a child of the Most High who is actually free. So bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I was talking to one of the saints, one of our brothers and sisters at Bread of Heaven at church. We get something was mentioned about purpose. And I told that person I might cover that tonight. I'm not going to cover it tonight. Yeah. Now, the Lord might get me to touch on it. Well, let me put it like this. I'm not planning to touch on it, but we'll see. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Psalm 133. Hallelujah. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. And of course, you know that's plural. Brothers. Of course, it includes sisters. Brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. That dwell is important. Hallelujah. Unity is a continuing thing. It wouldn't be unity if we were in unity today and then tomorrow we had each other's throats or talking about each other behind back. That's not unity. It's a dwelling, praise God. Hallelujah. And it does, we don't get to judge who God allows us to dwell with, right? We might choose who our friends are or who we spend time with, but we're to dwell together in unity, whoever God has called, hallelujah, to be our brothers. Hallelujah. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. What? Dwelling together in unity. That ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Do you see something here? Running down. We're talking about a flow. Come on, somebody. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Hallelujah. For there the Lord. Hermon was a high mountain. Zion is barely nothing much than a hill. How high or how medium size the mountain or hill is, as the dew descends from the high mountain like Hermon down to the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Imagine having blessings on command, because we serve a God who he's got it like that. Hallelujah. All right, one other scripture, John the 7th chapter, verse 37 through 39. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, hallelujah, Jesus is talking, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow, what? Shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. It wasn't here yet. Not in the form that it would indwell us, that it would infill us. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. There had to be a price paid on Calvary. There had to be the death, burial, and resurrection. There had to be the ascension. There had to be the 40-day seminar among the disciples. And then there had, on the 50th day, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there had to be, hallelujah, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, praise God, the establishment of the church, not through people walking around in big robes, not through people walking around with big titles, but through the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on regular people like you and me, fishermen, working people, family people. God did it how he wanted to do it, because he was dealing with the reality of having power and living for him. Hallelujah. So, and I'm just going to talk about, thank God for the flow. Thank God for the spiritual gravity, praise God. Because when our redemption is drawing nigh, we look up. Hallelujah. When we want to be exalted, praise God, we have to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. There's a gravity, a spiritual gravity. There is an order. There's a way that God does things that we don't understand. Even how he set up the universe, how he set the planets, and not just planets, all kind of heavenly bodies in orbit, praise God. In our solar system, when I was a little boy, we studied the solar system. Sometimes we would have models of it, film strips. That's an old thing that we had, like a film on a little strip. It would break almost every time. Had a big TV that was like, you know, on wheels. And that thing was like looking into fuzz. Not a sharp picture. But every now and then we turn it on for some reason. I remember when President Kennedy was shot in 1963, I was in the second grade, and our teacher turned it on for a minute, and then when they found out that he had died, she turned it off and made us lay on our heads on the desk, and everybody, including the teacher, was shedding tears, even though none of us knew the historic enormity of what had happened. Praise the Lord. So the solar system, right? So we studied the planets, and we studied and found out they taught us it was 9 planets, right? Well, in the 2000s, in the 21st century, the science said, no, it's only 8. Pluto's not a real planet. It's a dwarf planet. So it got downgraded. Hallelujah. And then they said, in about 2015, 2016, some scientists out of California came up with a theory. Well, they couldn't explain the orbits, right? I'm talking about order. I'm talking about spiritual gravity. I'm talking about thank God for the flow. Hallelujah. I don't know where I would be if I had not had the infilling of the Holy Ghost when I was 19, before I went into the family business, which was alcoholism. And God bless me, praise God, to not to go that way, to not want it. I can go in the liquor store and get communion wine and not be tempted. I'm not trying to smell it. I'm not staring at it. I'm not licking my lips or anything. God just took it away from me, praise God. And God deals with different people different ways. Sometimes people will get totally turned around from something. Sometimes God will process us in a different way. Both ways exemplify, demonstrate the power of God and the love of God, the grace of God toward us, because he doesn't want us to be bound. He wants us to be free, praise God. And the flow, the Holy Ghost, praise God, is to set us free from external things, set us free from fleshy things, set us free for things that make for death, set us free from talking about stuff that will kill us, set us free, praise God, from the things that we grew up in, hallelujah, and to have some power. Well, they discovered, well, they already knew this, but they began to look at the orbits out on the outer, what they call the outer rim of our solar system. And a couple of scientists out in California first came up with the theory. Well, I don't know if they were first. The first that did some real scholarly work to say there's another planet out there and it could be 5 times bigger than the Earth. They don't know, but because of the irregularity of the orbit, because they studied gravity, because they studied the way heavenly bodies interact with each other, they hypothesized there had to be something kind of big out there causing the irregularity of the orbits, because God's universe is orderly. So they postulated that. Then other people came along with different theories, saying somebody said it was a big black hole. Somebody else says it's a black hole the size of a man's fist. And then one of the most interesting theories to me, apart from the theory that there is a big planet out there that they can't see, and they have a new telescope coming on next year, 2025 or 2026. And they say that that bad boy can find it if it's out there. Well, and we know that God has set everything in order, and the worlds were framed by the word of God, and his word keeps everything in place. So within the last 3 or 4 months, they came up with a theory that I thought was intriguing. I don't know, because I said, man, they coming up with some stuff. They came up with a theory that it was something that had already happened. Some phenomenon that had happened thousands or however, maybe even a higher number than that, years ago. And now the impact of it is being felt in the orbits and all, and it ain't nothing out there. There was something out there, you know, centuries and centuries ago. I thought that was pretty interesting. Well, eventually, maybe if the Lord allows, they get some answers to that. But there's an order to the whole thing that God has set up. And, you know, if we were just some small degree closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we were some small degree away from the sun, this earth could not support life. But God set it in motion. He breathed into Adam, hallelujah. And that breath went all through Adam. So when God did the first surgery and took his rib out, he didn't have to blow into Eve. That rib contained the life. And he used it. he took a little time with Eve. He wanted to make sure Eve was fine and all that. But he had already gotten Adam to name all the animals and all that, because if he had given him Eve first, then, you know, everything would have been Eve, you know, a rhinoceros, Eve, you know. You've been so fascinated with Eve. Oh, there's what we call an eagle. No, that's Eve, you know. So he knew how to do it. He knew what order to do it. I told you he's a God of order. And I thank God for the flow. Psalm 133. I got this in the middle of life. I got five more lessons I'm working on. Praise God. As God gives them to notes and everything. And then in the middle of the night, look at that beautiful lady, that first lady. In the middle of the night, God started messing with me about this when I should have been sleeping and I couldn't sleep. Thank God for the flow. On Sunday, I'm going to get back to Psalm 133 in just a second. I got it right in front of me. There's no way I can forget it. On Sunday, we were blessed at our service, at the end of our service, after our service. Then we went to another service at our daughter Rhea's church, where Bishop Harris, who will be preaching on Sunday afternoon in our anniversary, just the pastor, he was preaching. He's had like two or three kinds of terminal cancer, and he's doing good. He's moving like around that church, like he was moving better than I was around the church. Got a little knee problem on Sunday, and he was in the flow. He was preaching. And what did the flow show me? The man was free. He had been on death's door. He had been counted out. He had been told by his doctor to make funeral plans. But he's a preacher, free. The anointing, the flow made him free. Hallelujah. And he blessed everybody. Then we had a blessing for our grandson, our youngest girl's youngest child. He's four. He had an episode back in October where he had, I think it might have been an asthma attack. But in any event, he's blessed. He's well. He's a wonderful little boy. Happy, energetic, and they had a service of blessing him. And the flow was there. The flow from heaven, the spiritual gravity from above. Hallelujah. Not from us. It came down on us. Praise God. The flow. Hallelujah. The flow. And Jesus said in the scripture I read from John 7, he that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, don't be trying to say something about Jesus you can't find in the scripture. Don't be trying to make up, well, when he was nine, he rode a donkey. No, that ain't in the scripture. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Out of our bellies, out of those who have been regenerated and born again, justified by grace, declared not guilty by the God of heaven, who is holy, but we could never be holy in our own strength. Something had to happen. There had to be a transaction. Praise God. We had to be dealing with some kind of currency other than the natural currency. Hallelujah. On my way home, praise God. Hallelujah. I may stop somewhere and buy something. Or tea. May not. Hallelujah. Had a late lunch, so I should be all right. I can't give them some Confederate money. I can't give them Monopoly money. I can't give them whatever they use, rubles or whatever. That's the wrong currency. In order to please God, we have to deal in the spiritual currency, right? And without faith, and that is perhaps the greatest spiritual currency that we possess on the face of the earth. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And many times we want to go to God in the wrong currents, in our flesh, what we want, what we think. It's good to tell God what we want and what we think, but realize we could be way off. We could be wrong. We could be headed in a direction that could cause some problems with us, between us and God, and for other people who would be affected by that. So thank God for the flaw. Hallelujah. I could never, ever, ever get up in front of a jury and make presentations and cross-examine witnesses and make arguments to a jury in my own strength. Some people have that gift, but I didn't have it, and I never would have had it if I hadn't gotten the flow, gotten the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And something happened to me. I think people who see me from high school, they say, he's the same nice guy. And I thank God if they think I'm a nice guy. Wonderful. That's sweet. That's nice. But the truth of it, I'm a totally different person. I still brought my characteristics, you know, my family DNA and all that to being saved. But my whole outlook changed. Hallelujah. And I knew it was possible to please a holy God, not in my own strength, but getting caught up in this flow. Hallelujah. The anointing. Hallelujah. The precious ointment. Praise God. The living water. Praise God. The everlasting life juice. The Jesus juice. Because the Holy Ghost couldn't come until he went away. So he instigated, he caused it. He was the proportion behind it. Praise God. And he said in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, I think it's verse 7, if I don't go away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the flow that brought Jesus to a barn in Bethlehem, the flow that brought fishermen into the realm of power, the flow that allowed a little teenage girl, virgin, to be overshadowed by the flow, overshadowed by the power of the Holy Ghost, overshadowed by the grace of God, overshadowed by the creative power, hallelujah, that spoke everything into existence, hallelujah, and to have, to conceive and to have a baby without ever having been touched by a man, hallelujah. And Jesus came to preach liberty to the captives, to preach repentance to a fallen world, and to be beaten and mistreated, to take the punishment that we so richly deserve. Why? Because he loved us. And because once it was spoken in the Old Testament, our God had to make it good. And Jesus had to come with the goods. And he died for us. And the flow. The flow. Now, what happened to the flow that God poured out on you? Did it just stop? Did it just make you shout and rejoice in the church, but didn't change your life? And it didn't fall on anybody else? There was not somebody coming behind you, hallelujah, that got blessed by the flow that God poured out on you? Is church just church to you? Is God just somebody on Mars, some figment, some well-placed myth, something you believe in, but you know, like they said in the 17th chapter of Acts, the unknown God. In other words, they were trying to say the God that nobody knows. But do you know him? Like Elder said last night. Hallelujah. In the fellowship of his sufferings, do you know him? When tears are streaming down, will you know him when your heart is broken? Hallelujah. And it's still broken and you can't fix it until the Lord says so. But yet you have praise. Yes, yet you have boldness that comes from somewhere. Hallelujah. And maybe there's some saints, hallelujah, praying for you. Maybe some angels dispatched, hallelujah, all under the same God, under the same flow, under the same oil, under the same anointing, under the same power source. We're supposed to be free. It's hard. It's not easy. It is not easy. And many times people can't get free because they know that as soon as they make a certain prayer request, there's going to be the temptation or the concern, maybe the apprehension that there will be judgment and maybe a fake prayer. Maybe I'm going through the motions prayer. Maybe somebody's saying a prayer instead of praying a prayer. Hallelujah. Because we're in this flesh. Hallelujah. And we don't know how dangerous it is for us. Our flesh will conduct in our life the thing that will kill us. Naturally and spiritually. And we have to crave the presence of the Lord. Thank God for the flow. I only won't think about where I would be if it had not been for the Lord on our side. Where would we be, saints? Hallelujah. In this world, in a world where we have Nazis marching in Nashville, Tennessee, and in Columbus, two cities I've lived in, where would we be if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side? If it had not been for the Lord that allowed the blessings, the anointing, the power from on high to flow to us, his people. Because the Bible clearly tells us those who were once not a people, as us, the Gentiles, have been brought nigh, brought near, brought to the presence, brought to the power, brought to the anointing, brought to the flow, brought to the source of creative power, brought to the point of destiny, God-given destiny. By the flow, the wind of God, the power that flooded over the creation, the power that quickened the mortal body of Jesus from the tomb. So the next time you feel like you're running on empty, remember there's an empty tomb. We could be in that tomb. Spiritually and naturally. But there's an empty tomb. Because Jesus took our whooping for us. Jesus died in our place, a substitutionary, sinless Passover lamb. His blood must be applied to the doorpost of our hearts. The alabaster box of our lives must be broken open so that we can receive the life-giving flow. We have to humble ourselves. We have to tell God all about it. We have to be straight with God. Because in being straight with God, we might not see immediate results, we might. But it is sowing into the spirit. And he will not. He cannot, because of his word, leave us or forsake us in this fallen world, in this untoward, crooked, perverse generation. He will not do it. So God's people ought to be free. And we have to help each other. We have to remind each other. We have to encourage each other. We have to intercede for each other. And not just, okay, I'm supposed to pray for so-and-so. Yeah, it is an obligation. But it ought to be more, your heart ought to be in. You ought to be in battle mode for somebody among us who is sick or going through something. I just thank God for the flow. Some of you on this call knew my son, Russell, Rusty. I coached him in baseball. We tag team preached. He come over our house at least 6 days a week, sometimes 7. And when he walked, me and him were tight. But when he walked in that house, he wanted to see his mama first. And I didn't mess with that. I loved it that they had that relationship like that. And I think you can tell a lot about a person, particularly a man, if he honors his mother, even though, you know, sometimes some mothers out there are a mess, you know, on drugs, in jail. If you don't watch it, she'd be all in your pocketbook and stuff like that, you know. But the thing is, find something to praise, find something to honor, and God will bless you. That's the kind of seed we plant. That's the kind of seed we sow. And we trust God to do something with that. We give it to him. Hallelujah. But, you know, he had this saying. There are lots of things he used to say and do that would bless me, and I think about him sometimes. But one of the things he'd do, almost every time I heard him in a public prayer, like he getting ready to preach or whatever, he would say something that seems so profound now, but now, back then, it was just he and my son pray. And he would say, Lord, thank you for this moment. I get it now. Because the moment is all we got. So we thank God for this moment. We thank God for the flow that we can feel right now on this call. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he had another saying that he used to say. Sometimes we'd be talking about preaching and preachers and stuff like that. He's kind of tough on some preachers a little bit, you know, tougher than I was. I said, well, it was all right. And he said, it was horrible. It was horrible. And we'd be laughing and stuff. We're having a great time. And then, you know, he might say something like, well, it wasn't that good to me, Dad. It was no anointing. Then somewhere in the conversation, sometimes he would get around to saying this little quote he used to say, if you don't know, you can't float. If you don't know Jesus, if you hadn't experienced him, if you hadn't been filled with his spirit, if you don't have any kind of relationship, you ain't even trusted him enough to get baptized in his name, hallelujah. And if you come to Bread of Heaven Church on Sundays, praise God, hallelujah, thank God. But you don't really know what the church is about unless you come to Bible class. And then you got to come with a spiritual mind. to see, to know what God is doing. Hallelujah. Otherwise, it just seemed like, But God is great. He's greatly to be praised. And I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. And you know what? You know, I can be a little bit of a mess. You know what I mean? I got issues like any other person, any other guy, whatever. I've told y'all about the temper, you know, that God has delivered me from for the most part. And we need to tell stories about stuff I did I don't even remember. Said that we were in the National PAW Convention in Cincinnati some years ago. Her purse came up missing. I had an unction from the Lord. Plus I had, you know, I was a strong little skinny rascal. She said, I don't really remember this, but I know she wouldn't lie on me. She said, I went to the hotel clerk where we were, that I grabbed him by the collar, that I pulled him over the counter. I said, you know something about it. It wasn't Renita's purse. It was her best friend's purse. You know something about this purse. Right? Now, I could have been arrested, beaten, shot, whatever. She said it. I don't remember. I know I talked to him, you know, with that direct thing. We had that dead look in my eye, like Clint Eastwood, like, yeah, make my day. But I don't remember touching him. But she said I reached over the counter and pulled him over the counter and said, you better get her purse back to her. You know something about it. And miracle of miracles, next morning, her purse is returned to her. And I don't remember if anything was missing or not. We have issues we have to deal with. The stuff that gets passed through the DNA and through our environments. Hallelujah. And it's really hard on brothers. Because when we're teenagers, we're kind of raising each other. See that girl over there? Yeah, man. And start talking that locker room stuff. And we get to the point sometimes where we think that chasing a girl or trying to get so-called notches on our belt, that's the highest thing and all that kind of stuff. And we find out that those spirits attached to soul ties, and there's danger associated with them. And the jealous boyfriends we don't know nothing about. Some of them packing some of those big guns and stuff like that. It's very dangerous. It's very spiritually incapacitating. It takes us not altogether outside the realm of the possibility of God's flow. Hallelujah. But it makes it less likely that we're going to be in a position to receive everything that God has for us. God's going to do what he's going to do. But yet, there is a part for us. I thank God for the flow. I thank God for the flow. I'm free. You're free. Hallelujah. I know somebody think, Pastor, I don't feel that free today. Hallelujah. I ain't say nothing about your feelings. I'm just talking about the reality that you're free. You might feel like Pluto. You've been downgraded through something that happened. Through something somebody said about you. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter, Pluto is the same size it was when I was a little bit boy, whatever they call it. Planet, dwarf planet, whatever. Out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. We speak with other tongues as the flow is downloaded from heavenly spaces into vessels, earthen vessels. This treasure in earthen vessels we carry, and it's got to flow. It's got to flow. It's not stagnant. It has to flow, and it has to affect somebody else. And all God's people said,
amen.
All right, I got one amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. If anybody wants to talk, you can. Praise the Lord. It's kind of a preach, kind of a words of exhortation, whatever it was. Go ahead. I can't hardly hear you. Is that you, Sister Cutright?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, my sister. But whoever wants to say something, please do. And First Lady, you got a testimony today, don't you?
Yeah, praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. And I've enjoyed the word today. Thank you, Pastor. It's been really good, enlightening, and so thankful, and really appreciated you talking about Rusty's sayings. He was such a funny guy. Yeah, whoever didn't get to know him, I can't even understand what we're talking about. He is such a funny guy. He's just really walk in the room and just take the room over. He was real big. I remember one time I just wanted to share. We went to eat at Farmer's Market after church. And Gerald and Rusty were having a little bit of beef, not too much, just kind of, you know how you look at somebody kind of sad after I sat your eye. And it was Gerald's birthday. And so Rusty went with us, and I remember after church, Gerald said, after we ate, he's like, it's my birthday. And you know, because Rusty was so full of life and talking and stuff, we laughing and talking to him. And it took some attention away from Gerald. And I remember him saying that. But then later he went on to say, like Pastor said, you know, embrace every moment. He just embraced the moment. I think that's what he did. He embraced every moment, every second, every little bit of air. He would take that. And I appreciate that. He probably got that from me. Because my mom used to say I would squeeze the water out of a rock. If I was trying to have a good time or enjoy the day. So he probably got that for me. But I pray, thank God for you all. Thank God for everything. Today was a big milestone for me. I've been working on my doctorate for Lord only knows how many years. I'm embarrassed to say, but I kept pushing through. A lot of life happens. A lot of things happen to deter me from continuing because I didn't have my mind made up. But once having your mind made up, you can do anything. You can do it. You honestly can do anything through Christ Jesus. But you got to have your mind made up. If you wish you wash it back and forth and you really don't have your heart in it, God's not going to put his heart in it either. So you have to have your heart in if you ask God for it. And I just praise God. So today, when you're getting a doctorate, you have to do a proposal of what you want to talk about, what you want to study, what you want to discuss. And you have to convince a committee that it's worth it. So it's a lot of work, a lot of studying, reading, researching. And a lot of times people are turned down the first time. And sometimes people turn down after working so hard, they just give up. But I praise God that I had favor today. I had favor with my committee, and they approved my study, and so I can move on to the next stage. So I praise God for my prayer team. They were praying for me this morning, even though I wasn't on the call. I got confirmation and message that everybody was giving me praying that God would hear and give me favor. And he did. I had one of the hardest committee members at Tennessee State on my committee. And he was kind. He was kind. And so I thank God for that. So thank you all for your prayers. I don't want to take up too much time.
Thank you. Appreciate that testimony. Looks like we're all thanking God for the flow. I prayed for you this morning. I knew it was going to work out. I didn't want to sound too confident. But we thank God for that. We thank God for favor. We thank God for anointing. We thank God for the flow. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Questions, comments, brief testimonies? Floor is open, saints, as we come together. And this is our last Bible study before Thanksgiving. So, you know, tomorrow we're on our own. So I have to work, but praise the Lord, I don't have court. Praise the Lord, my little trial that started Monday. I kind of threatened him. I said, you know, y'all don't get finished today, y'all going to get bumped to sometime next year. They finished right 4:30 on the dot. And so I'm very pleased with that development. God is good, y'all. Hallelujah. And God has wonderful blessings for us. But I really was struck by Bishop Arthur Eugene Harris, which is my real pastor, and how he was preaching, and he had had all these kinds of cancer. He'd had a young daughter to die at 25. One of his other daughters who's doing well, but had had a terrible wreck, but God spared her. She wasn't really hurt. His wife had had a sickness, he just kept going. He just kept going. And he preached all over that church, didn't he, First Lady? He was all over. Y'all think I move around a lot. He's going down the aisles. I loved it. I was sopping it up like Thanksgiving gravy. I was so happy for him. And I can see the change in his life. Because when you go through something like that, whatever your humility level is, when you're going, you're going to have a better, more godly level of humility after going. And I see such a change. He's sweet now. You don't know if you could say that about him before he was, you know, he's kind of rough, you know, but he's a sweet man because God, he, you know, and he talks faith, you know, he talks faith. Hallelujah. That's the currency that we have to use, the spiritual currency. Anybody else? All right.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Turkey.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
This is Beverly. Well, I guess I could turn the camera on. I look decent, I think.
Yeah, turn it on.
I look all right. I'm in the car. Oh, okay, Pastor.
Okay, go ahead. No, I'm still.
Go
ahead. No.
Lord have mercy.
Don't pay attention to me.
Y'all see how a pastor be doing me?
I told you I had some things wrong with me.
That was too. Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, Talia says hi.
Hi.
Talia's in town for Thanksgiving holiday.
Hi,
Talia. I wanted to give an update because the saints been praying, and I was hoping Elder Holden was going to tell it, but he said I had to tell it. But I'm gonna get to Elder Holden. So everyone knows that Samantha has
You don't have to get to Elder Holden, but go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, get the other holder.
Yeah,
get the other holder because he's got a plate waiting on me Thursday. So yeah, go get to him.
Okay, so Samantha's been in the hospital. And I've been thinking about it. When she was born, she was in the NICU for 23 days. And so she has been diagnosed with congenital. Congenital chloride diarrhea, CCD, and it's a rare a rare condition, very rare. And the doctors have, I wouldn't say they've been aggressive because she is a baby, but they have been on top and very diligent about her care. And I've been praying. I was like, God, I want my baby home for Thanksgiving, you know, her first Thanksgiving. I prayed when she was in the NICU, when she was first born. I said, I want my Mother's Day gift for my baby to be at home for Mother's Day. And Mother's Day was Sunday. She went home, I think that Thursday before Mother's Day. And this past week, with this being week being Thanksgiving, it's so much, but I'm trying to press for time. So
don't
with
worry,
this week being Thanksgiving.
Don't worry about the time.
Okay, please. Amen. Please. So this week, past few weeks have been very rough. Amen. I press with a smile. And as I testified yesterday on the call, is that you never know who is watching. You never know who sees you, right? I had one of the moms, Samantha, was in a music group. She came to visit Samantha a couple of times while in the hospital. And one thing she texted me, she said, you know, she said, you have a beautiful spirit. She said, because I don't know how you could go through so much with your baby and your husband being deployed, and you're still so kind and so sweet. And I told her, I was like, I said, it's because of Jesus. I said, it's not me. I said, it's because of Jesus. So for me able to, you know, to be a light and to continue to witness without having to, you know, preach the word to somebody, you know, is how you carry yourself and how you treat others is a witness of how powerful God is. Amen. I'm gonna stop there because then I'll be testifying by myself. But so the saints have been calling and checking in, and I love y'all. I want y'all to know I love y'all. And I got a phone call this morning, early this morning before the doctors did their rounds, from Elder Holden. And of course, you know, he was extending his love for and his home for Thanksgiving. He's like, just come get a plate. And he was asking about Samantha. I was like, no, there's no signs of her coming home for Thanksgiving, because there wasn't. I mean, there wasn't. Her weight was still going up and down. Her levels weren't steady. And he said, them doctors gonna come in and say, you know what, y'all, pack her, y'all, go home. No, so, I said, amen, Elder. I said, I pray this is that. I pray this with what they say. And he encouraged me. He gave me an encouraging call. It was a blessed, beautiful call from Elder Holden. And sure as the sky is blue and God is God. Let me say it again. As sure as the sky is blue and God is God. The doctors came in and said, you know what? I don't see why she should stay until the end of the week. I think she's good to go home tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Y'all hear me?
Hallelujah.
So I had to take another class on how to work the her meds and machines and stuff that she'll be going home with. And again, anything could happen. And I say anything can happen. I'm not doubting God. I'm not. But I also told God, I said, I'm not rushing the process of what you got to do with Samantha. And Talia is my witness. We had a nurse come in, and she's like, oh, and she introduced herself. She said, is this the Samantha that I've been hearing about? Like the entire NICU and PICU and patient floor knows about Samantha. And I say it's because of the spirit that God has put in her. As much as she's endured with the poking and prodding and, you know, all the tests and all of that, she turns around, she fusses, but then she gives a smile. And she loves on the nurses that just poked or trying to draw blood. And I just praise God, because like I said, without preaching the word and, you know, being a Bible thumper, the way we live and the way we conduct ourselves is a witness that will draw people. But people are drawn to us.
Amen.
Hey, Mom, you know, nurses, I don't even, that's never been on her service. Hi, Samantha's mom. Hi, we love your baby. Like, you're so nice. And it's just beautiful. Just as Elder Holden encouraged me on this call, we are praying that when we get up in the morning, by the afternoon this time, tomorrow night, Samantha shall be home in time for Thanksgiving, her favorite Thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
So praise God. And Elder Holden, amen. Thank you, man of God. I love you.
Praise God.
Now I'm going to turn my camera off. Bye, Pastor.
Bye-bye.
So, Elder Holden, are you ready to give final remarks in testimony or whatever the Lord has for you, whatever words of expression you have? And then, if you would, Elder, close us out in prayer tonight.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord for that testimony. Praise the Lord. Actually, she's trying to blame it on me. We know God did it, but she ought to be blaming Deacon Rob for that powerful message that he taught yesterday.
Amen.
Giving thanks to God. So when we give thanks to God, when we praise God, when we walk, like she said, because we don't know who walks, who's watching us. Man, God will show up and show out, and he showed out today. And I thank God that Samantha, we pray that she's going home tomorrow, that everything's going to be all right, and she's going to look at the doctor, and she's going to say, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I love that.
Yes, sir. But we just thank and praise God for the call tonight. We thank you for the word, Pastor. And we thank we just thank God. It's Thanksgiving. And ask everybody to just be careful and don't eat too much where you have to be up there. You know, if Samantha come home, then some of y'all go in the hospital for gluttony, you know. But God is good. Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father God, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you already done. The things that we can't see, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
It's already taken care of.
Jesus.
The favor that you have given us. And while we crying and while we asking you, oh God, to work out some things, you already got it worked out. And you're just waiting on us to settle down and to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he shall strengthen our hearts. We praise you.
Hallelujah.
But this is the kind of God we serve.
Thank you, Lord.
We ask that you bless, dear Lord, continue to bless, continue to strengthen, and continue to guide us to be what you will have us to be. Let us walk according to your will.
Thank you, Jesus.
And do the things that are right in your sight and live holy and acceptable. This is our reasonable. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord for Samantha. Praise the Lord for the doctors and the nurses. Praise the Lord that she's going home. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Of her mother and her big sister. We just thank God. We just thank God. Hallelujah.
Pastor, I'm sorry, one more thing. Talia got accepted to the National Honor Society today. She got her acceptance letter. Amen. I went to celebrate her as well.
Congratulations and praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. There's no limit.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome.
There's
awesome,
no limit.
Thank
Sister,
you.
Sister Talia, there's no limit what God can do in your life. To help people, to honor him, to accomplish things, to kick open doors. Just keep on honoring God. Keep on being a faithful young lady. God will bless you. He will bless you. He will do it. All right. Good night, everybody. Love you.
Good night. Love you all.
Amen. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Love you.
Bye.
Don't eat too much turkey.
Good night.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.